We want to talk about a lesson here that I've given one other time. I gave it at Bridgeport and Texas at congregation there. And this is something I have thought about. It's something that the elders really didn't talk about, didn't listen to it in a conversation, the deacons, any member, but it was something that was in my heart that I thought that I need to do a lesson, and I wanted to study about that. You know, in our lives, we see so many times in our life, the time we are young, through Bonnie and I, our marriage, and through our careers and our life of some up and down in peaks and valleys in what we have done as far as our monies, as far as our budget, as far as things that we had going on. Sometimes there was peaks and valleys of just money was low. Sometimes there's peaks and valleys when money was a little higher. One of the things that's been hard for me in this lifetime is just to have a good steady income throughout my whole life. At times it's gone up and down. But this lesson is going to be about you personally, in your heart, what you feel, maybe not so much feel, feelings is not a good thing. When you read the scriptures and you look at the truth about what I should give, this is where we need to be. We need to ask ourselves this question, how much should I give? I'm not talking about just your time. I'm not talking about the sweat equity things that we as Christians will do where we'll go out and do something for someone. That's a good thing. It really is. Giving in maybe something to someone, loaning something, someone that they needed at the time, works. Brother Jace had a lesson on that the other day. It was a good lesson. I'm talking about your money. I'm talking about something that hurts. Something that's going to get in your back pocket. Something that gets in my back pocket. And so many of the times that we want to hang on to. You know, when it comes to money, we think about all this big balance that we have to do. People want to call it a budget. We want to go through our daily expenses, which works into monthly expenses, and we want to say we've got to be here to live. We want to eat. We want to make our rent. That's important. We want to make our payments. That's important. And so do we wait until we see what's left over for the Lord on the first day of the week? And so many of the times I think that we get in that mode of not really stopping and thinking about what we ought to do when we think about how much we give. And one of the things that I've done, Bonnie and I, we actually did together, and I'm not one to read these get-rich-quick books at all. I don't think they're good for us, and I don't think it's anything we need to read. But there are things that are good reads that we should read. One of them that we, and it sounds like a get-rich book, but we were on our way back from Florida, and Bonnie had bought this book at the airport, and we was reading it on the way back to Florida on the flight. How to Be an Automatic Millionaire. It's a good read. Sounds like a get-rich-quick book, but it's a good read. It teaches to put your savings automatically. This guy drives that home all through this book. A lot of different things, but his thought is this: don't live beyond your means where you're not able to save. You need to allow that money for yourself to save, which is a good thought. It's a good thing to do. But he says, protect yourself from yourself. Have it done automatically. And that made all kinds of sense. I guess that's why I'm not a millionaire. I didn't do that 30 years ago. But if you do that, young people, you're not exempt from this lesson. You need to give too, just like the older folks. And especially growing up in your lives, you need to think about this in your life as you're growing up. This is something I need to do, like mom and dad. I need to give to the Lord. But if you learn that concept in your finances young about your own budget and your finances to automatically do it, if we think about the Lord's table on the first day of the week, we come around together at this time, it's a convenient time to give. We need to think about that in our lives. When we sit down at this table and we write a check out and we prepare ahead of time and we think about this, how much should I give? It needs to be automatic. It needs to be in our life and instilled that we know what it goes to, that we know what it takes care of, that we make it a big part of our life, just like the selfishness part of us wanting to be okay when we're 75 years old. And we automatically have that taken out. We do. We want to be okay, don't we? Well, I'll tell you, in our Lord's work, we need to make that even more important. We need to make it important of how much should I give. I can't answer this question for you, how much you should give. I know what Bonnie and I can give. And through our life, it has kind of gone up and down. And it may go up again. I hope it does. I will say this. I hope to excel in my giving. And I hope that you will want that too. But what we're going to look at a lot of here is attitude and behavior that the New Testament examples we have here today, some of the Old Testament examples that we have here today to look at, that we can see what they gave and we can kind of compare to that and we can see where we need to be and how much we give. Jesus challenged his disciples to give. God, Jesus said this in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. A principle that Jesus speaks about, we can see here in the Bible. Jesus used an example of measuring wheat in a basket to ensure a good, accurate, full amount. Fair, shaken down, pressed down. Everything that you can get into that thing, and it's fallen over the edge of that basket. If we treat others generously, compassionately, graciously, with this kind of qualities in our life, it will come back to us in full measure. It's a good way of life to be. It's when we see someone in need that we give, and sometimes it's going to be coming out of our back pocket. And you know, when we do give generously, and it may not be being paid in this full in a lifetime. I don't know exactly how God blesses us all the time and things coming back to us. I really don't. But I will know this, that if it's nothing more than we are sitting down in heaven in the end, we have been paid in full. Think of that blessing. And one of the things that we see is that giving is a command from God. He wants us to give. He wants us to have that gracious giving of compassion when people need it. And it will come back to us. Maybe not in this lifetime, and possibly in the lifetime of next. And maybe both. Paul stated Jesus on giving. Acts chapter 20, 33 through 35. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In all things I gave to you an example. That so laboring ye ought to help the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's stating what Jesus was talking about on giving just a slide before. Paul's saying, look, remember what Jesus said. That's better to give than to receive. You know, it's kind of hard to feel that, isn't it? Whenever you have those things coming to you, somebody gave to you in a time of need, you're like, oh, wow, thank you. But the person that's giving it to you is more blessed. That's the attitude we got to kind of get around on this thing is whenever we are sitting here giving these things, we know that it's more blessed to give than to receive. You remember JFK back in, I can't come up in the year. Maybe the history buffs in here can. JFK was president, and he's back when the Cubans was having a problem with Russia, and he's telling Russia to get out of Cuba and all that. Said get out or expect World War III. I remember back when I was in school, at that time we had to get under our desk. Practice nuclear drills like that was going to help. But during that time, JFK said, you know what? As far as the United States, don't think what this country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? You know, when we think about that as a church, as a independent, as an individual, what can we give? What can we do for the church? I'm not saying at times now that it's wrong to receive help when you need it, and the church is able to help. Glory to God for that. But it is also an obligation, as much as we can, to lay by in store and to help and to give and to what can we do, take that attitude upon ourselves for the church. The establishment here, that helps others. We're going to look at some scriptures about that in just a moment of more of that also. As far as in times of people, when they have times of need, how the church should help of giving their means. You know, Paul commanded Christians to give. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 here. It says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. You know, they were preparing here. They had and we'll look at the prophecy here in a moment about Jerusalem. There was a lot of hungry people in some areas there. Very poor, very hungry, and under some very distressed circumstances. And this is what they're doing. They're getting together and they're saying, look, we're going to these churches and we're going to collect these means and we're going to get that to the right places. Paul took it upon himself to get these monies entrusted into the right individuals and himself to get those areas taken care of. And this is what is going on with that. We're going to collect this from the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, and there was other churches involved. Ephesus, we know that they were involved in that. Macedonia, we know that these churches come together and helped in a time of need. We see here, upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper. You know, there's been times of prosper in our lives that we have been able to be able to do a little extra. There's been times in our lives that the needs was there, and then our giving went down a little. But I hope in my lifetime that I'm continue to be able to excel. I want to be able to continue to excel whenever there is a time of need. This is what they're talking about. This is talking here that a church and the people there are literally starving, that are literally having nothing, and Paul is saying these people need help, and they are getting all this together to do that. So let's have the attitude that this is something that we can do, and this is something we can rejoice in a time of need, is to be able to give. And these people did. Work so we can give to those in need. Ephesians 4 and 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have, whereof to give to him that hath need. You know, throughout the Bible, it talks about working. Doesn't talk about being lazy. Doesn't talk about being idle. Doesn't talk about looking forward to retirement so I can just quit and not do anything. It really, as far as the Bible, it talks about an active role in life of working and giving. It looks at through this whole deal. I don't know where this retirement thing has come from. It's something that I've working for, and I'm kind of maybe slowing down a little bit, but really, do we? Do we just get to a point where I'm done? We'll sit out and get the sun and just take it easy. But I don't read about it. I really don't. I read about it in a lot of different magazines, but as far as Bible teaches that we are continued to work. If you stole, don't steal no more. Go to work. And evidently they had a problem here of people stealing. And he's saying, don't steal no more. Go to work. Give to people that have need. You know, as an individual, I've worked a lot of different jobs, been laid off of a lot of different jobs. I remember starting our first 10 years, I think I was laid off 7 times. Go back to work. Bonnie would do different things. I'd cut cordwood, whatever. Didn't matter. Just kept on going. Kept moving. It's hard to hit a moving target. As far as the bill collectors, they was trying to hit a moving target. We had to get out of a hole, and we continued to do things. In our lifetime of 10 years, about 7 layoffs. The next years, it got a little easier. Went to some school. Got a better, a little bit more, better paying job. At times, whatever, washing machines went out, things happened, kids got sick, life happened. Money went like this. It's like what we were talking a moment ago. And it was real easy, too, during that time, by the way, to pull out a credit card and pay for something. Wrong. That's where it starts snowballing. Then you start searching the less interest payments on those different credit cards to put it on and try to find the 0% to put it on. It's a big old nasty game you don't want to get into. That's what I'm talking about, is if we live within our means, and we do save for ourselves, but if we live within our means, we're not trying to crunch down to find that number that we give God. That we don't have to sit there and say what's left over. That we can continue to say every time, this is what we're giving first, and we're going to stay away from that, and it's going to go to the Lord. It don't need to change, and then maybe that can stay steady. And if we bump up a little bit, maybe we can bring it up. But there's some sensible financial things that we can do in our own minds that we can continue to keep what we give to the church going and it not have to go down. Not saying that times, if something happens, that you have to. Maybe so. But I am saying that when we have the opportunity that we need to try to excel, that it continues to need to go up. Paul says work, and that's something that we can do. The Bible doesn't speak well of lazy people. As a Christian, as anyone. And we need to continue to work and do the best we can and give to the church. Paul says to be rich in good works. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. He says here, I want you to think about this for starters, young folks. This is a young man that Paul's entrusting himself to. that he's going to a church that's our city, very rich, Ephesus and areas of that nature of churches that had money. And there was probably some people with money in those congregations. In this scripture we're going to read, Paul's telling a young man, this is what I want you to say. Charge them that are rich in the present world that they be not high-minded, not arrogant with the way they are. Nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, to give. Willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on that life which is life indeed. Teach them how to look at the life after, the real life. And you know, the rich should give, and they need to find a number they're comfortable with, but the poor should give too. And the people in the middle should give. Everyone should give. But here, Timothy is being told, you find those that got the money and teach them the direction that they need to go, that their hope is not set in all that money that they have and what it buys them, that the security is not there. The security is in that life after. Show them, Timothy, that they need to have their eye on the church work, that they need to have their eye on giving and not just laying up in store for themselves in a way of greed, but lay it in store for a foundation against the time to come. So how much do I give? Law of Moses was explicit. Let's look at we talk about the harsh law and a lot of things they had to do, a lot of different strange things they had to do that we probably would never understand, but here's one we would. If it was getting in our pocket for 10%, that would hurt. Everything that you have, cattle, 10%, your wheat, 10%, your cotton, 10%, your goods, 10%, your tithing, 10%. You know, whenever they did, a lot of times, a sacrificial heave of things at times in a time of need, sometimes it was more than 10% that they would get sacrificial givings. We can't relate with that. That is harsh. The new covenant is not as explicit as that, that we knew in the law of Moses that God commanded tithing of 10%. There's no command like that for the Christian tithe. We don't do this tithe. We don't have a set. This is what I expect you to do. To me, that would hurt. In my finances that I have, that would hurt. Now, we'll look more at what the Bible teaches as far as the New Testament, what it teaches us to do. We're not left, though, without assistance regarding giving, are we? Old Testament examples to inspire us, though, is there for our teaching. One of the ones that we can think about in giving, which I know, I'm sure, give even more than 10% would be King David in building the tabernacle and the things that he had reign over. 1 Chronicles 29:3 says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, have I of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in all thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. You know, whenever David was given, I want to go back to that one to start with. When David was giving, it was a passion. And read this first line again. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. The passion of giving for David was a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of precious stones. He was getting into his own personal treasure chest and giving to build this house and this tabernacle. So his passion was great for this. His affection was great to do this. He said, I have my own proper good. He went and got his special goods to do this with. Then he gets into talking about this free will of offering. And he's saying, God, it's yours anyway. All these things that you've given us, we're just returning a portion back to you. And you know, you think about the big, large scheme of things of this world, how God has blessed us so richly. All the dirt that's here has been dirt that's been here forever. The water that's here has been here forever. He said, here you go. You can grow food on it. You can have the water of it to live by. Here's the riches to live by. And we get all this stuff up and we gather it in our lifetime. And when you look at the big grand scheme of things, we're going to die. We're going to go back to the earth. And it's going to be continue on probably when we're gone. God's still got that life churning and we're gone. In our lifetime, like David said, we need to have this passion and we set our affection on giving and not on one of collecting these things and holding on to them because it's going to be gone. In the grand scheme of things, we can leave this to our kids and when they're gone and it just moves on down. The big scheme of things is that we're not going to be able to sit here and hold it forever. We can't. We're going to go back to the grave one day. And the things that we have can go to work. They can go to work actively in our lives. And that's what David's saying here. Have a free will offering. Have a way of life that you know all these things are God's. God's passion of giving. God is a God of giving. Deuteronomy 24, 19 through 22. It says here, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in the field and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, and that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt before I command thee to do this thing. You know, this was an interesting scripture to me because I really didn't know it was a law. And this law, at the time in the Old Testament, was when you went in and you reaped your fields or your crops, that you didn't just go in and clean every little bit out of it. That you went in and you left some of it. Basically, once you farmed it and you harvested it, and then there would be others, possibly, they called it gleaning. There would be others that would come in, could have been the poor, could have been somebody very hungry, and there was items that was left over. And so it was an Old Testament law that you didn't get every little speck out of that field. So we see here in Deuteronomy 24, it being a law that was in work at the time to take care of the poor, to take care of some of those that were in distressed circumstances. You know, we can see that there was times in our lives, and you've seen it too, of people needing help. And I think this is a very passionate law that God loves people. He wants everybody to be taken care of. Ruth obtained food for herself and Naomi behind the reapers in Boaz's field. And because of this law right here, she was able to find food because of a law that was written way before. And so in our lives, there may be times that we need help, that possibly the church can do help for someone. You know, this is a very good thing that we can do, that the church is able to help people in a time of need, and glory be to God for it. Israel's tithing to God at the time when God asked the children to give is a tenth that went to the Levites at that time. In Numbers 18, 20, 21, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Those who were taking care of it in the spiritual form was being taken care of. These monies that they gave were able to continue that work. God wants church work to continue. And in your giving, the things that is done, people are getting food. People are getting taken care of, maybe clothing, in times of need for the poor. In the spiritual realm, we can look at it in the same way, that the spiritual needs that's being taken care of, that there's evangelists that's taken care of, that works are continued to move on. Nigeria, India, domestically, what better investment can we put monies into, brethren? An investment of a life to come. Just like what Paul was speaking about a while ago to Timothy, to teach those there that had a lot of money. There's going to be a life to come that you need to put your hope in. And what better investments can we put that into? When I say investment, I'm talking about a monthly amount of money that I have decided that I put into automatically that does this work. We can't get any better return in this market today than what we will do for God's work in His church. For all the people in the church and for yourself. Some did not give as they should. And this is God's attitude towards that in the Old Testament. There was times that they didn't want, they kind of did a little rebelling and Malachi 3, 8 through 10, we can read that. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Yet have said, it is vain to serve the Lord, or to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now ye call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they have that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And that day, when I make up my jewels and when I'll spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, we can see that God had has a way of blessing and severity on the other direction of that, I guess, of cursing. For the children of Israel to say, that's all vain. Why should we do this? Why should we do this ordinance? Question after question after question. And with this rebellious attitude, God was not happy. You know, when these things was being taken care of, there was a purpose for life, physically and spiritually, and God knew that great plan. And as he laid it out before them, they rebelled against that at times, and God was not happy with it. So what's our attitude today in the New Testament form of how we believe on giving? How much should you give? How much should I give? What's going to please our Heavenly Father in a way that we want to please Him? It's spoken about, I believe, as far as a attitude and a willingness and a preparation. But as far as how much, what does God expect of me when it comes to the commandment of giving? More than 10%? 10%? 7, 5, 3, 1? Not at all. Let's look at a couple of New Testament places and passages here. Zacchaeus, give half. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as ye also is the son of Abraham. Wow. Half of everything I got, and if I've done anybody else wrong, I want to restore that fourfold. What a heart. What a heart of giving. Widow gave all. We can just move on. We can see something even really more so of giving. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow they cast in more than they all. For all they have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she in her penury has cast in all the living that she had. I want to tell you, that is giving. That is giving to the point that it hurts. You know, God, I don't think today expects for us to hurt when we give. Or does he? We may think it hurts whenever we give. And at time, I think there's really the difference of giving when it, till it hurts is one thing. And then, but giving when it really hurts and it gets into your family, maybe they need something. Maybe now that you're in need, I don't expect God wants us to do that. Because then you're going to have to turn right around and somebody that's going to have to give to help that person. That's not what he expects, but he does expect us to give and to have a passion of giving like Zacchaeus and like the widow. And when it really comes down to it, brethren, we think about our monies. The scriptures teach about how the money is the root of all evil and why? Because we just want it. We want this because, not because it's a dollar, but it buys us things. It buys us stuff. It buys us power. It buys us this. It gives us this. And we don't want to let go of it, even for church work. And whenever we find ourselves in that mode, in that behavior, and in that attitude, we're finding ourselves in trouble because it's all from the heart. It's really not a dollar amount. It is that I want to give and I want to rejoice in this. I want to be happy that this is being done and it's glory to God. It's the attitude and the behavior of what we do it in. But we find ourselves so many of the times of getting selfish and having greed in our lives. Example of New Testament giving for the Lord's work. It's willing of themselves. We can read here, it says, moreover, brethren, we do you wit, to wit. We want it to make known. Some of that English terms, it's kind of hard to get through. We want to make this known of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty bounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond the power that they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This is the times that Paul was speaking about that there is a great need. There was a great need in Jerusalem. There was great need in other church members and lives that were poor, that were hungry. And Macedonians here gave when they really didn't have it a lot of times. Many of these people were poor, but yet they come together with what they could have together in their lives and they gave. No specified amount was predetermined in a lot of these times. Example of what we have in giving in the New Testament to feed the hungry. Just like those old laws that we looked at a moment ago of the 10%, we can't put a number on it, can we? But we can see the examples in our lives in the scriptures here of what went on in the New Testament that we can take to heart. Acts 11, 27 through 30. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem. This is where it was known that Jerusalem had a problem under Antioch. And listen to this in 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signifying by the Spirit that there should come a great dearth. Well, it's a famine. And people are going to be hungry throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did and sent it by the elders in the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So a prophet stood up and said this is going to happen in the future. This is why they got busy and started saying, let's lay by in store. Let's get these funds. Let's get these things going to Jerusalem to give them help. The principles to guide us should be some of the things that we can look at and see the reasonable things that we can do and see in the scriptures and add these principles to our lives as we prosper. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Another principle to guide us on giving. Paul instructed to give according to what we have. So you can see in the one before, as we've been prospered, we have it. But listen to this scripture. 2 Corinthians 8, 12, 13. And this again, this is very reasonable things that we can add to our lives and understand here about giving. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. So look at the wisdom in that. Why should Sean give everything he has and his family goes hungry? And then somebody over here that's got it has turned around, we talked about this a moment ago, and give because his family is in need. You know, there's common sense in a lot of things, and there's reasonable ways of doing this thing. We give as we have, and as we've been prospered, and we have an attitude to want to do it, and that we have this attitude of making preparation for it in our lives. So bountifully, seek to excel because you want to. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We see here that we are to try to excel. We are to try to sow bountifully because you want to. Because you put that in your heart to do. Because you want to do this and rejoice that we are able to help in God's church. Sowing bountifully. How to excel the grace of giving. Give as we have purposed in our hearts. Plan spiritual priority items in your budget. We need to plan to give continued church work, monies, and for evangelistic work. It's for those that are lacking and for those that are poor. We do it with a cheerful, giving heart. You know, when it's done cheerfully, you think about those folks in Macedonia. You think about the ones at that time who didn't have a lot. And Paul comes and sending word to the brethren, this is what I want you to do. This is where the need is. And that they gave cheerfully and that they gave rejoicing that they could help. This is the big point that we want to do in our lives, is that there are needs many times and that we continue to do so with an attitude of cheerfulness, of a purpose, and that we rejoice that we can do it whenever we have it. The scriptures teach that, and that's the attitudes that we as Christians must have. So how much should I give? That's between you and God, is how much you should give. So what have we considered in this lesson as far as going back and looking at it? One, it is a command to give. These examples there of Zacchaeus we looked at and the widow. We looked at an Old Testament of David and his compassion of giving. We've seen these examples throughout the history of the church on giving. Let's continue to apply that in our lives. Suggestions on how to excel in giving also. So why do we give? Maybe a question that we should ask us ourselves also. Let's look at the last verse here and say to ourselves, well, one reason is that God gave his best. And he gave us an example. Jesus gave us an example how to give. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know, when you think about not give, and you know where it would hurt, you give a little bit to right here and you say, okay, we need to stop right there. And then maybe possibly if I had to give more, my family would be lacking. But you think about God's family, his son, gave it all, left a place that was rich, no problems, had everything he wanted, spiritually just heaven. And you come down to an earth of sin and sorrow, and he was poor. He worked hard by sweat of his brow. He faced pain. He faced people who cursed him. He faced people who put him on the cross and killed him. He gave it all. It's like it says, the scriptures talk about that he just poured himself out completely. And so when you compare, we'll never get to that point of giving in our lives. I don't think we can. But we can get to a point in our lives of giving that God expects us to be at. And the scriptures plainly teaches that. That this is something that, brethren, in closing here, that we need to give prayerful consideration for you and your family. That giving is not so much a number amount, but it's cheerfulness, it's a willingness, it's making preparation, and it's saying, I want to do this. I want to start making this part of my life. This is something that I can do for the work of the church. God's plan was for us to be in heaven, and he sent his son, and he gave all for us to do that. Let's continue to the work of the church and our giving, that others can hear the gospel, that others can hear that great plan because of him. I don't know the minds and the heart of those that are here today. I hope the things that I've said are something that will inspire you in the way you treat and look at the giving, the church work goes on.